All right, it's time to get started. It's 7 o'clock, and now that school's back in, we're going to do our best to be out here by 8, and like we try to do every Wednesday night, to get the kids home at a good hour. And now I have to get Miss Judy home at a good hour, too, because she has to drive so far. So anyway, I appreciate you being here tonight. If you remember Sunday, I mentioned that I'd like our average for the year and on Wednesday night to be 60. Well, we're a long ways from that right now, so we're going to have to get busy and start calling folks, inviting them, making sure, just encourage them to come to church on Wednesday night. And I appreciate you being here, those of you that are. Thank you so much for coming. And we're going to go ahead and have Brother Tim come and lead us in a song, so let's all get a hymn book and stand together with him. Number 277, 277, Jesus Loves Even Me, 277. Everybody join us as we sing. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me.
It's almost just kind of routine, you know, to sing these songs. But Tim's often sing out the verses, words, and song, which I think is the right thing to do. When you read the words of the song, that's a great thing about church music. Christian music, yeah, is that it's not the music, it's the words. Their form of music, just about, it's the music. You know, the words mean nothing. It's, you know, baby, 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 baby 80 times, and that's all. And, you know, I mean, I could write a song like that and win a Grammy. But the whole point of church music is it's got a message. And we are saying, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. You know, don't do that. And most of you might be new to some of you. Singing out. Oh, really? What are they doing? Oh, really? Who's doing sign language? That's right. You guys can do sign language. I'm up here. I don't think we have any hearing impaired folks here. All right, y'all face Mr. Tim. I'll do the music. All right, stand right here. Stand right here. And while we're singing,
I'll do it too. How about that?
All right. Now, which is the good ear?
This one.
Oh, come on this side. Over here.
See, I know sign language too.
I know. So you'll be able to sing along with them. Come here, Ezra.
Over here.
Come here, Sheriff. All right, now when we're singing, you sign it, so he probably won't look, but it'll kind of go in that ear. All right, let's sing that next verse. Just sing it with all you got.
And
all
then,
right?
And then I think they'll join us on the chorus. Is that right? Okay, so let's sing, Oh, If There's Only One Song I Can Sing, together.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King.
Tim wasn't doing the same thing they were doing, but we get them. I think that was great. Did you enjoy it? Give him a good hand for doing that. Thank you, guys. Very good. I didn't see them down there doing that, so I'm glad that they joined in with us. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, it's a joy. I am so glad that Jesus loved me.
serve all the people in this world. Now, the Bible says God so loved the world. So everybody is Jesus has loved. God, having saved me and me trusting in you as my Savior, you've shown me things and shown me love that nobody else could show me. God, I'm so grateful for that. And everybody in this room, if they'd be honest, they'd have to say that nobody loves them like Jesus loves them. God, not only today and yesterday, but he already loves us tomorrow. And Lord, love us so much, you've already planned our home in heaven for all eternity. So Lord, may we worship tonight with that smile, not only on our face, but on our heart, at Jesus. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Lord, tonight we're glad to be in the house of God, and I appreciate all the folks being here that are here. We hope that over time more will fall in love with Wednesday night service and come and worship. I appreciate Azariah and Nariah doing the sign language, doing the signing of the song there. God, we want our young people to get involved in the services. And Lord, we appreciate so very much the Word of God that you presented us with that we can preach and teach and sing about and learn about tonight. And so I pray, God, that you'll bless every heart. And I'm sure there are people here that have burdens and needs. We all do, Lord, and you know what they are. So, Father, I pray that you'll meet that and encourage them. David used the word extol, which means to lift up or raise up. The Bible said we're to extol the Lord or extol God. Help us, Lord, to raise one another up with our attitude and with our actions. Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost will take the Word of God tonight and speak to our hearts in an unusual way. We love you, and we're excited about what you're going to do here at Anchor Baptist Church in 2020. We love you. Thank you for what you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, we'll sing another song in just a minute. Brian's not here. Brian Bethany will be here Sunday, Lord willing. And so I don't have the list of announcements. I know. Let me get Susan's out of the way before I forget. Two things. Number one, she wants to meet with the ladies after the service tonight. I guess in the ladies' Sunday school, where you in the conference room. It's a conference room. And so right after the service, just a few minutes. I promise we'll be out here by 8 o'clock, so that you'll have a few minutes. It won't feel like you're being rushed. And then was there something? No, that was just for Judy and me. That was something else. Okay, she won't take our picture. The directory. We already got it worked out. There you go. Okay, see? All right. There you go. Okay. So only the one announcement then, okay? Nothing else really going on this coming week except for Sunday morning, Sunday services. Don't forget about that. Be in Sunday school. Our goal to average in Sunday school is 60. We had 66 Sunday morning. So we're already, that's good. But now listen, it only takes a couple of Sundays below that, and that average will start to fall down. So I hope you'll be faithful in Sunday school. You teachers, you need to call your class every Saturday, Friday, every week anyway, and do everything you can to encourage people to be here. Our goal on Sunday morning is 100. We've only hit 100, I think, three times in our history, and we can do that. We had 80 Sunday morning, and we had enough that were out for whatever reason that we could have probably come close if not struck 100. So let's really invite people to come. If you know somebody that wasn't here, or if you know somebody that needs a church, man, we don't want to just focus on our four and no more. Let's get other folks in as well and encourage them to be in the services. And I believe God will honor that. And again, we're not doing it to brag on a number, but obviously the more people you get in, the more opportunity you have to reach somebody, either with the gospel or with a message from God that will help that believer. And so that's why, by the way, 95% of the ministry of the church is to the believer. I mean, sure, we want to win people to God. That's right. We want to, we want to bear sheep. Remember what Jesus told Peter. He said, if you love me, he said, feed my sheep. But they can't be sheep till we win them. But once they are, our goal, our duty, our responsibility is to feed them. We have great Sunday school classes. We have a wonderful choir. I mean, we're just blessed in those areas, and we want to use that to our advantage to try to get people to the Lord this year. And then don't forget, next Monday is the Low Country Fellowship. And I hope some of you can, if you can work it out, to maybe take some time off of work. I know it's right after the holiday, and so, you know, you're probably like stacked up with stuff to do. If you can, I'd love you to be able to try to come for the afternoon service as well. But surely for the evening service, Brother Brian Gurley will be here preaching that night. But we want a full choir. We want to sing. We have our own groups and special music and that sort of thing. But I promise you that the church will be full. In fact, probably Sunday night after the service, we'll probably have to bring the chairs out of the ladies' room, put in the middle section to create a few more seats, because I guarantee you the church will be full up. And we don't want to have to sit in the choir loft if we don't have to, but we will if we have to, but certainly we'll talk more about that on Sunday, okay? Okay, let's see. Pray for Miss Juanita McManus. I just talked to her a few minutes ago. I've been trying to call her for 2 days, and the way she wrote her phone number, I was calling the wrong number. And finally somebody texted me and said, "Mr. Rick, my name is so-and-so, and you've been calling my number for 2 days, and I don't know who you're trying to get, but it's not me." So I said, okay. So I honestly, I started guessing. I bet I dialed 4 or 5 different numbers before finally hit the right. She finally said, "Hello." I said, "Miss Juanita?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Thank God." I said, they're going to put my name on at the post office for bothering people on the phone if I'm not careful." So anyway, she's got both a sinus infection and a cold, and she's had it for 2 weeks. When you get some age on you, you know, that stuff tends to hold on a little longer. But she told me, she said, "I started actually feeling better today." So she's hoping to be here Sunday. She said, "I so miss being at church." And so you pray for her. Miss Ramona, of course, continue praying for her. Miss Bobby, continue praying for her. And so if you know somebody, I do want to mention, too, many of our folks remember the Chalmers, Christy and Kathy. Of course, Bill Chalmers was the one, even though he had passed through his funeral, that's how we got Joaquin. And, of course, they worked together over at the VA before Joaquin branched out into his own business. And I preached Bill's funeral. That's where I met Joaquin the first time. And since then, he's gotten saved. And, man, he can't hardly do without Joaquin around here. And we're hoping that his wife will be able to come home maybe in February. That's kind of the idea, Lord willing. And so she's been out there a long time. We'd love to get her back here and get her back under the gospel. Although she does watch. I think she's watched many of the services, not all of them, but at least the Sunday morning services pretty regularly. So she checks in on there and makes a little comments, you know. So anyway, we'll be glad to have her back, but still continue to be praying for her. All right? Any other prayer requests? Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. We did this before, and we're going to do it again tonight. At the end of the service, we're going to get around the altar. We're going to have family altar time and just get around the altar to pray. That's how we're going to close out the Wednesday night services this year. So just kind of keep that in mind if you have a prayer request. Anyone have one you want to mention real quickly? Somebody or something? Or a praise report you'd like to share? Anybody? Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't. She's in the hospital in Rock Hill. I don't know why she's in Rock Hill, but she's in Rock Hill. Lives in Lancaster. So anyway, Joaquin called me the other day, and she's having some heart issues and kidney issues, and she's in the Piedmont Hospital in Rock Hill. And so we want to be praying for her, apparently in kind of bad shape, so I'm not sure to what extent. I think Christy might have texted Martha. Martha was telling me about it tonight. And so we want to pray for Kathy. Of course, they were members here for a long time, and then they moved back to Lancaster. So anyhow, let's be praying for Kathy Chalmers, okay, in the hospital in Rock Hill. All right? Anybody else? Ma'am. What's her name again? Austin Spears, right? And where she live in California? New Mexico. All right, so pray for, and how old is she? 6 years old. My gracious. All right, so let's remember Robert's daughter. Okay, Austin Spears, all right? Is that right? I did say that right. Okay, anybody else? Junior? Is that right? He had the surgery. How? He's going to be here after rotator cuff? I'll tell you one thing, bless his heart, if he's here, I'll sure make over him, because that rotator cuff surgery put you down. In my church, it took her 2 years to get over it. I mean, that's hard stuff to deal with. So pray for Gary Berry, Jr., okay? We love the Berries. Anybody else? All right. Well, we'll be praying for them after the service. Got one other thing I'll take care of in just a moment. Come on, brother.
All right. By the way, if you know some deaf people, you run into deaf people, you invite them to church, we'll interpret for them for whatever it's worth. I did it for years at the other church, so we can make it so they can understand and everything. They're very social. So they like to be invited to things. Certainly, most of them are already in groups or churches. But if you run into somebody that's deaf, and Edwin also does that, he's certifiable, but he can interpret as well. So invite folks like that to be with us as well. 472, let's stand and sing first and last stanzas, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over.
Thank you so very much. Why, thank you. If you find your seat, we'll have the ushers come on ahead. While they're coming forward, let me go ahead and take care of this. As you know, last year, we set our original track goal for 15,000. Well, we got there in September. We extended the goal to 20,000, and we actually wound up the year, this is the final count, 21,049. So that's great. Thank God we surpassed the goal. So this coming year, goal, I mentioned, 20,002 or something like that. Well, 20,200. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, that other zero always floating around kind of knocked me in the head. Anyhow, what we've decided to do is because, you know, we got to 21,000 this year, we're going to extend that a little bit more. So we're going to set the goal this year for 22,020. That's 80 more than what we did this year. So it's not that much when you think about it. So that's what we want to try to do this year. Now, we said in the beginning that we were going to reward the class that gave out the most tracks. Now, by the way, let me encourage you this year, if you want to be that number, if you want to be the winning class, then you've got to report what you give, and you have to give them out too. But so here's the way it broke down this year. The junior class gave out 906 tracks. That's pretty good for, you know, little children. I'm telling you, that's great. The college and career class, or the young adults class, 1,365. The teen class, or the youth class, 3,450. So it comes down to the final two classes, the auditorium class and the ladies class. All right, so here's the way it broke down. Ladies class did 5,332. It's a lot. A lot of that really towards the end of the year when Gail got kicked in, giving out her 100 every week. The adult class, or the auditorium class, I mean, it was close. 5,330. That means the ladies' class won by two tracks. By two tracks. That's right. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to reward the ladies' class, the ladies' Sunday school class, with a group dinner at a restaurant of their choice, not Ruth Chris or, you know, somebody like that. I mean, you know, within reason, but the church will pay for their dinner. It'll be a free, but it can be a ladies' fellowship night or, you know, if you guys want to do. But anyway, we'll leave that up to you, in the ladies' class. Now, this coming year, we're going to do the same type of thing. We're going to come up with some really good prize at the end of the year. But we're going to do one thing a little differently because, you know, you don't want four or five people to do all the work and everybody else reap the benefits. So here's how we're going to do this. And so whoever is in charge of each class collecting the numbers, you know, will have to keep a record this way. And I think you all do that anyway. But every member of that class, let's say the ladies class wins next year. Well, every lady in the class has to give out at least 120 tracks for the year. That's 10 a month. That way everybody isn't, you know, so if they don't get that many, then they can go to the dinner, but they have to pay their own way. I mean, that's just fair, right? And so that way everybody's involved, you know. That way you don't just kind of say, well, you know, Gail's going to give out her 400 a month, so I'll just ride in on her. This year you get to do that. Next year you won't get to do that, okay? So we want everybody to be involved. And again, the goal for doing this is not to win a free dinner. The goal of this thing is to get the gospel into people's hands. You understand? You know, and I'm not that big on contests, but I think, you know, I just think it gives a little incentive maybe, and it's a dinner. You know, we're not going to give them a brand new car or, you know, a week's trip to Bahamas or something like that. And we're not ever going to do things like the world's largest Sunday and all that. We're not going to do that. We don't have bake sales. We don't have barbecues. Churches that do that, if they won't do that, that's fine. And I don't think that's the way you should support or pay for things of the Lord. I really don't. That's just me now. Now, after I'm gone, the next pastor comes in. I mean, you might have bingo on Thursday night. I don't know. But we're just not going to do that sort of thing. And so what we do is we rely on your giving. Let me segue into that now. If you haven't yet turned in your Faith Promise pledge card, try to do that tonight. If you don't even have it ready now, after the service, get one, fill it out, and give it to myself, Brother Steve, because we want to get that sort of final tally for the year, how much we're going to expect every month, so that we can plan our missions accordingly. What was it last year, Steve? What you remember? What the every month around $1,800 or something, maybe $1,500 a month. So you know that's that $18,000 for the year. I don't know the final tally yet, but I think so far it's higher. Well, I didn't want you to tell that, but that's I tell you, it's hard to find good help these days. Anyway, yeah, it's a little over $1,800 a month right now. So it's up a little bit. But again, don't let that determine your participation. You ought to do this because you know it's the right thing to do. That's how we support missions. That's our way of obeying the Great Commission without us actually going to the mission field ourselves, because God doesn't call everybody to the mission field. And that's how, you remember Paul really bragged on the Philippian church because they were givers. You know, they were the first to sort of send him out and sent money to him through Epaphroditus. And boy, he wrote back and said, man, I wasn't expecting that, but I think that's pretty good. And I think God honors that. And so we want to be sure that we keep our missionaries on the field and add some new ones throughout the year. And I'm excited about doing that. So anyway, congratulations, ladies class. And you all can get together maybe Sunday and decide where you want to go and when you want to go, Miss Judy, if you want to plan that out, you know, and then just let us know. And, you know, Joaquin and John and Tim will wash dishes at that restaurant that night, help pay for your dinner, okay? All right, it's offering time. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Joaquin, you pray for us, would you?
Come on, Joaquin. We'll make that all twos instead of 22,000, whatever it would look like, and that's the Pulu commercial. So, Joaquin's going to sing right before Pastor comes.
Right. Shackled by a heavy burden, need a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flows my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, he cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. I shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flows my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me and made me whole.
That song, and get your Bibles ready to listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Get your Bibles out. Malachi chapter 3 tonight, the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3.
The name Malachi means my messenger. Malachi was God's messenger to the people of Israel right before that 400 years of silence. He was the last of the minor prophets. He really talked to Israel more about their serving God. I think God was sort of getting Israel. He wanted one more time to kind of get Israel kick-started into serving him and loving him, knowing that there was, between Malachi and Matthew, this 400 years of silence. Now, in some of the Bibles, they have what is called the Apocrypha. And Scofield doesn't have it in there, but there are some that may, very few, because the Apocrypha is not considered canon of Scripture. They are history books, Maccabees and others. The Catholic Bible contains it, and they actually declare it to be Scripture when it's not. Somebody said, well, who decided it wasn't? Well, God did. God did. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so Malachi is, in fact, the last book of the Old Testament prior to the 400 years silence. And then Jesus comes. Matthew chapter 1 begins, and that's where the life of our Lord and the New Testament, the church age, sort of starts. Now, the church age itself really doesn't begin until Acts chapter 2, but the New Testament age begins in Matthew chapter 1. And Malachi is certainly wanting to encourage the people of God, the Israelites, to be faithful to God, serve Him. The great chapters in Malachi, of course, is in Malachi chapter 3, where he talks about, will a man rob God? The idea of tithing that was not only a command to the people of Israel, but is an applicable command to us. Tithe, will a man rob God? Well, how can you do that? How do you rob God? He said, with tithes and offerings. That's how you rob God. When you don't give God what's His, you are in fact stealing from God. That's what the Bible said. And of course, we know that in Exodus, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And so there you go. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And then you get into chapter 4, where he actually, it's a small prophetic look, the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus in the millennial reign, and Israel being restored during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. By the way, I hope you're paying attention to what's going on over there. I'm telling you, don't think for one minute that what's happened over there with Iran, trying to shoot them missiles, you know, and isn't it strange how they conveniently missed? Because we finally got a president with some guts that said, you kill one American and you're in trouble. I guarantee you, if one of them was going towards one of them, whoever's steering them things said, we better aim them in another direction. They probably think that nut means what he says. Amen. I'll tell you. And of course, the first thing they did afterwards was blame Israel. Israel had absolutely nothing to do with any of it. Not the first thought, they weren't consulted. They didn't, you know, they didn't shoot the missiles. I mean, the first thing the Iranians, those that hate Israel, said, well, we're going to shoot missiles into Israel. I'm going to tell you something. I'd be careful doing that too, because our country's known kind of back off. Israel's not. You shoot one over there, you're getting one back. Amen. I'm telling you. And all of this is in some way, maybe not in a major way at this moment, but God knows the time frame. But whatever's happening over there is certainly part of God's plan, end of the age. So you need to keep an eye on what's happening over there. And I hope we don't get in a prolonged type of a war. Although, to be honest with you, the power with the might, military might we have, we could probably end the thing in a week if we wanted to. I wish, if we get in one, I wish they'd just go ahead and get over there and get it over with, not let it go on. And of course, we want to pray for the soldiers over there. When I heard that, immediately started thinking about those military folks, and we've had some here that have actually, Brother Joaquin and let's see, who else? Brother Robert, you were in Iraq, weren't you? But probably at one of those two bases, Al-Assad, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we Brother Hunt, well, he's not here, but Hunter, anybody else that was over there? Aaron was over there? Okay, so, you know, we need to be praying for those women over there, even though right now it seems like the danger was sort of, you know, just more talk than anything else. But I'm telling you, all it takes is one person to do the wrong thing or push the wrong button, and pretty soon, bam. Judy's fourth grade class, they came into school talking about World War III. I mean, their parents had talked them up into this big war that was going to happen. And I'm telling you, don't be misled into thinking that can't happen. It can. Anyway, let me get back to the text here because we've got to get done. Go to chapter 3, if you would. Look at verse number 7. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. And this is part of that, what I mentioned a moment ago. I'm just reading. I'm not using the first part of these verses as our text. The text is really down in 13 through 18, but I want to start in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers. Now again, remember that Malachi, God through Malachi, is speaking to the Israelites. That does not mean, this is not one of those places where Israel is only being spoken to. This is applicable to everyone. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances, have not kept them. Turn unto me, I will return unto you. That works, doesn't it? Not just for Israel, that works for us Gentiles too, doesn't it? Sure it does. He said, saith the Lord of hosts, but you said, wherein shall we return? Why? Why do we need to come back? And notice, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? How have we robbed God? Tithes and offerings. It's pretty plain, folks. It's pretty plain. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Notice the curse is not because they haven't come back to God. Curse is because they have not tithed, robbed God. He said, you're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat, and prove me. Now, this is, by the way, this is where we get the idea of faith promise. He said, this is God talking now. This is not Malachi just filling up some space. This is God speaking. He said, bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. God, in some instances, allows us to test him. Now, be careful how far you go with that. But in this instance, God said, test me, prove me, he said. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not, now this is the result of tithing, I will open the windows of heaven. Can you imagine that? And pour you out, not trickle down economics like, you know, when Reagan was president. He said, I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You imagine. Anybody here ever ask God to quit blessing you because you had all you could hold? We're usually saying, God, I need more. Yeah. Understand? He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God's going to keep everything in order. What you hear about is the global warming, you know. They spent hours talking about Australia's about gone up in flames. Boy, everybody all around the world got up. Global warming, climate change. Boy, the media ran with that, you know, boy. And then all of a sudden they found out three guys set the fires. Arson. So you better be careful how you run off at the mouth before you get your facts. God said that neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. God's got the seasons in order. God's got them all in his hand. You know, somebody said, well, the earth is moving on its axis. It's moved so many degrees and it's going to cause. Listen, if that happens, God's the one that's going to do that, not us. But notice verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. There's going to be a day when Israel will be the center of the world. That's the day of the Lord. That's when God comes back after the tribulation. Jesus comes back and sets up Israel as his eternal kingdom. Go to verse 13. Your word, now here we are. Now notice, God has just told them all he can do and wants to do and will do for Israel, and we can put ourselves in here. Now notice, your words have been stout against me. I mean, they weren't just talking bad to God. He said, your words are stout. When, that word stout means it's got some power to it. Imagine, hey, God can be grieved, God can be rejected, and God can feel the power of our lives not for him. He said to Israel, your words, things you say, again, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Even God said, your words have been powerful against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? What did we say? I didn't say anything. Amazing how things will come out of their mouth, and then when they're called out on it, I didn't say that. Or you know, the political correct answer for that, when you lie, is I was misinterpreted. Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Okay? They that work wickedness are set up. This is not the way it's supposed to be, folks. He said, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. It seems like the wicked are getting by, and those of us who are trying to do right seem like we get the short end of the stick. Now, that may be the world's view of it, but that's not God's view of it. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. that day when I make up my jewels. Now, here it is a specific reference to Israel. This is not for the Gentiles. The church at this point will be gone. In fact, we'll be coming back with the Lord during the millennial reign. But he's talking specifically here. This is not the church here. This is Israel. He said, I will make them, He said, I will make up my jewels and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And shall ye return? That speaks of the return to Israel. So the Jews have been scattered ever since they crucified the Lord. And now they're returning. People are going, they're having to build in the Golan Heights and the West Bank. And, you know, the Arabs are fussing because the Israelites are building in what they think is their land when they don't have any land. But now they're politically fighting over it now. But one day God's going to work. God's going to fix all that. He said, and then he said, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, I won't stop there because here's the lesson there. That is, if you are where you need to be with God, you can be around people that are wicked and you can tell they are. And it will make you uncomfortable, and they are. And then you'll be around folks who are trying to do right and you'll be comfortable around folks like that. That's why I like being around you all. I'm comfortable here because I know you're trying to do right. Now, do we all do right all the time? Of course not. We're not, you know, that's why I say here we try not to do anything that's going to bring reproach on the name of the Lord. Doesn't mean that we'll fail. We won't fail. We do. We'll have to go to God. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in there. So we'll have a way of escape. But I want to give you just a real quick about an 8-minute message because I'm going to have to hurry. On it pays to serve God if. It pays to serve God if. In the text we just read, there are two groups of people mentioned, righteous and the wicked. It looks like, and it's happened throughout the scripture, remember Asaph? He wrote several psalms about, you know, I don't understand, God, why the wicked are prospering and we're not. Habakkuk wrote in his book, it seemed like Israel was getting by, and he actually called God out and said, I can't believe you haven't just brought judgment on these people. I think not only are they wrong, God, I think you might be wrong by not bringing judgment. And God said, okay, Habakkuk, let me show you what I'm going to do. And after he did, talking about the Assyrian takeover and the awful conditions and the murders of, you know, the Bible talks about how the Assyrians take babies and smash them up against trees. That's in the Bible. Now, I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just saying they made the Babylonians, you know, look like circus clowns. And God showed that to Habakkuk. Next thing you know, Habakkuk's praying, oh God, don't do that. You know, isn't it amazing how we want God to fix it? Then when he says, okay, I'm going to, yeah, but I want you to fix it like that. It's not the way it works, folks. Well, notice, the one group felt it just wasn't worthwhile and it was vain to serve God. That, hey, why bother? The other group felt it was absolutely worthwhile and necessary. By the way, I hope we're in that number tonight. Amen. Hope Anchor Baptist Church is in that number. I want to be in that number. I want to say it pays to serve God. First of all, the Jewish remnant that did not believe that it paid to serve the Lord. What's the first thing they were doing? First of all, they were speaking out against God. When you stop thinking it's worthwhile to serve God, pretty soon you're going to start saying things. Not only about God, but about other Christians, about other church members. Listen, any time the tongue gets involved in the congregation of a church, it starts with somebody who all of a sudden doesn't think that serving God the way they were taught to is not necessary. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter what Bible you use. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you sing hymns or if you have Christian rock. There is no such thing, by the way. I mean, let's do it different. We've had people leave here because they didn't like the fact that we emphasize the King James Bible. Guess what we're going to do? As long as I'm here, we're going to emphasize the King James Bible. Because it is the Bible. All the rest are just books. And all the rest are just kindling for your fireplace. The stout words that disturbed God in verse 13. They were painful remarks. He said, you have stout words against me. Not just about me, but against me. It's one thing to say, you know, I don't like the fact that, you know, that Brother Tim can only hear out of one ear. But for somebody to say, but you know what? I just don't like the fact that he teaches that Sunday school class and tries to teach the Bible to them, and he's just a servant of God. I just don't like that. See, you're not talking about him now. You're talking against him. Boy, if I could get rid of that preacher or that deacon or that teacher, I would. Boy, I do different. See, now you're not talking about them. You're talking against them. Well, I don't want to follow the things of God. But when you start saying things against God, he's not God. He doesn't love you. He didn't care about you. All of a sudden now, that Those are stout words. So the stout words that disturbed him were painful remarks, he said, against me. And they were puzzled remarks. God said, why are you doing this? Many times throughout the Old Testament did God remind Israel where he brought them from. And they'd get right for a while, then they'd go right back where they were. You know, after a while, even God said, I don't get it. At one time, they said, God's not fair. God spoke back to, I think it was Jeremiah, and said, what do you mean I wasn't fair? Because you know where all of us belong tonight? Hell. But isn't God been fair to us to let us be here tonight? Amen. So the stout words that disturbed God. You see, the problem wasn't that they were just speaking against God, but they were making evaluations that were not biblical. What do I mean? Here's what they said. Notice, he said, in verse 15. And now, see, now that they've spoken out against God, now they've walked away. Notice how, do you notice how logic flies out the window? What's wrong with America today? We're doing things that are so illogical. What's wrong with common sense? Too much book learning and not enough common sense. Notice he said, verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. I'll tell you right now, boy, Anchor Baptist Church couldn't make it without me. You know what? For people that are walking away from God, you know, they say, boy, those folks are really happy in the Lord. No, they're not. They're full of pride. The Bible doesn't say that happiness goeth before a fall. It said pride goeth before a fall. It said that we call the proud happy. They that work wickedness are set up. All you got to do is go to Washington. Listen, they can talk about God, you know, all they want to. But that's a wicked bunch up there. I'm telling you. And they're leading this country in the wrong direction. You know that's right. I thank God for the ones that have some manner of sense about them, but there's not very many. Isn't it amazing how quickly they will sell out? It's just sad. They call the wicked, say they're set up, and they that tempt God are even delivered. In other words, you could just fuss at God, and you can do evil and look him in the face, and you can knock, and he said, you can rob him and slap him right in the face, and he won't care. Oh, yes, he does. But Steve sings that song, oh, yes, he cares. That's talking about caring about us believers, but he cares about them wicked folk, too. And you mark her down, honey, the day's coming. Yeah. You find that there was a problem with their evaluation. Not only did stout words disturb God, but sinful words disturb God. Why were they talking this way? It's simple. Lack of faith. Faith is a big word in God's word. They lack faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you start living your Christian life without faith, you are speaking out against God. So that crowd fell in with the greed and the avarice, all those things that God warned them about from the start. And listen, churches are going in that same direction. All of a sudden, what people used to, even people in church that weren't even Christians, but they went to church, had some measure of respect and honor and you know, some type of, you know, now who cares? Who cares? You know, come like you are. You know, we'll have three services. We'll make sure that the old folks are still trying to do right. We'll put them at 8 o'clock in the morning when they can't get up early enough to get here. Listen, you think I'm lying? I'm telling you, that's how the devil's killing this thing. Now, those traditional services are no longer. Now it's just now they're just mixing the traditional, you know, they'll sing Amazing Grace and then they'll, you know, do Wham. No, never mind. I caught a lot of grief over that, so I better just mow. Now, they're more, a lot of people are more from the group of serving from greed than the group serving from gratitude. But now it's what's in it for me? Hey, we'd like you and your family to come to church. What do you got for the kids? As if, and I'm telling you, people have decided what church to go to, not based on the doctrine that's being preached, but whether or not their kids can be watched. I'm telling you, we've had people not come here because we don't have a gym, have a fellowship hall, and we don't have a nursery that is modern. And they've told us that. What are you going to do? You got the kids preaching. Is that it? That's enough. Let me get, oh, what time? Oh, my goodness, look at this. I got to do this in 2 minutes. You better listen fast. The Jewish remnant that did believe, it paid to serve God. Let's look at the three ifs. Real quick, I'll just give it to you that reveal it is worthwhile to serve God. In verse 16, it pays to serve God if you would rather be known by God than man. Verse 16, Bible says, then that feared the Lord spake often one to another. See, they spake to one another, not about one another, because they'd rather be blessed of God than man. Notice the second one real quickly. It pays to serve God if you'd rather be a jewel than have a jewel. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I want to be a jewel for Christ. Don't have to be the biggest jewel. Don't have to be the best jewel. I can be just a little old piece of cubic zirconia. As long as God puts me in the crown. As long, hey, thank God, I know it's more than just getting there, but man, I'm telling you, thank God we've got heaven to look forward to. And lastly, it pays to serve God. Look at verse 17. If you'd rather be spared later than now. I want to be alive later, don't you? I want to be in heaven later, don't you? Verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Hallelujah. You're not getting much attention here, but I'm telling you, it makes news in heaven. If heaven has a newspaper, I'm telling you, all the stories are about God's people. No murder, no suicide, no killing, no abortion. None of that's in heaven's newspaper. All about people doing right. And the early edition comes out extra, extra, extra. Read all about it. They're rejoicing in the presence of the angels over Raymond Mars getting saved Sunday morning at Anchor. Hallelujah. Sir, 81. He said, I want to repent of my sin and get saved. And he did. Be here. He said, preacher, I'd be there if I could drive at night. We're going to try to work it out and get him picked up. We're going to try to get him here. In this life, the child of God may suffer, but on that day, there will be a reversal, and those that reject the Lord and seem like they're making it are going to find out that's not the case. Lazarus the beggar, and God brings it all together. I think he knows it now. Lazarus the beggar probably has said many times since he went to heaven, boy, I'd rather have the dogs with me and look where I'm at to fare sumptuously every day and look where he's at. I know people can't see into hell from heaven, but the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Lazarus can read his own story. He knows where that rich man went. So folks, it pays to serve God, doesn't it? Start a brand new year, man. Make your best and decide to do it all the time. Not just when it's convenient or not when you're not too tired. Amen? I mean, Jesus went to Calvary, beaten, bruised, battered, broken, I mean bleeding. If anybody needed a rest, it was him. He didn't quit. Let's do everything we can to make sure that we're on God's side in this.
And give it our best. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you for this time together. Lord, we wanted to get done in time for folks to get home, and I want to try my best to keep that in mind in the days to come. Lord, I pray that you'll dismiss. We're fixing to come to the altar, Lord. I pray you'll answer prayer that's made here. So, Father, I thank you for this time together in Christ's name. Come on, let's get around the altar, all of you that will. We're not going to sing. We'll just have Brother Steve play. Get around the altar. Come on, bring your families. If you cannot kneel, of course, like always, the front seat. You can sit at the front chair. But if you can kneel, it's good to get around the altar. That's why we call this family altar time. You may have a burden or a need. You may be praying about God's will for your life or something that you wonder if God is directing in that way or not. Or, well, you know, help me with this situation, my work situation. Help me with this person. Help me to be a witness. Help me to be kind and whatever it is. Now's the time to bring it to the Lord. And I believe God honors it. And I believe God will honor Anchor that we spend time around the altar. So while we're gathered at the altar real quickly now, listen, you can pray out loud. You can pray to yourself. If you want to get up and walk around while you pray, however you pray, that's fine. It's not going to bother anybody. Don't let it bother you if the person next to you is just praying, out loud. Don't let that bother you. You just pray however God leads you to do it. Talk to him. We go home. And I'm going to have where's Brother Shelton right here? While he's there at the altar with his family, I'm going to have him to lead us in prayer. And then when he's through, you fellowship together. Well, that'll be our benediction. Ladies will go back there and meet real quickly. Rest can go into the house. And God willing, we'll see you Sunday at 9:30. All right, Brother Shelton, you lead us in prayer.